Speaking with Sebastian Bell, and over the years we've been following your work as a spokesman and lobbyist for Maine aquaculture, and you've taken place in a lot of task forces and done gosh knows how many different hearings and things pertaining to aquaculture. What is the situation nowadays?
Well, first of all, Ron, you give me way too much credit. I'm a farmer that's washed up on shore, not a lobbyist. I don't view myself as a lobbyist. But anytime a new activity comes into a community, there are questions that are going to be asked. And that's fair enough. I think communities have a right to ask questions and try to understand more about it. Aquaculture is, in many cases, a new activity. And so people have questions about it. We're getting, there are some lease applications right now in the mid, kind of northern part of the mid-coast that are oyster or mussel applications that are getting some questions, mostly from people who live right next to where the lease would be granted. But the one thing I think which has changed dramatically over the last 10 years is that aquaculture now is viewed as part of the Working Waterfront. We helped found the Working Waterfront Coalition with the Maine Lobstermen's Association. We've worked closely with them for many years. And we're just kind of just another way to make a living on the water.
Now, I noticed an applicant to raise shellfish intertidally in Searsport came and went. I guess he finally decided not to move ahead. Now, is that common? There are a lot of people attracted, and only a certain percentage of them decide to go through all the hoops?
Yeah, certainly the dropout rate, if you would say, between the people who initially express interest and the people who actually end up applying for and getting a lease site is a very high dropout rate. And the reason for that is, number one, aquaculture is actually technically quite challenging. Number two, it's sometimes hard to acquire the expertise you need because it's not something you can just go to university for. It's a kind of a school of hard knocks. And number three, the process of going through the leasing process can at times be very intimidating and daunting for people. You have to go to public hearings. In some cases, people get very energized at the hearings. It feels like you're being put on trial sometimes. So, for a lot of people, they look at it and say, well, I'm not sure that's right for me. The good thing is we are seeing a level of interest and application right now in the state that we haven't seen in 30 years. And it's mostly people who are coming from the commercial fishing industry. So they're people who have either been shut out of a fishery or the sons and daughters of a traditional fishing family that can't get a permit. Maybe they're on the waiting list, but they have to wait 10, 15 years to get a permit. And so they're looking at aquaculture as just kind of another way to keep the maritime heritage of their family going.
Now, are you finding particular forms of aquaculture being favored by such people then that are just trying to expand upon the commercial fishing?
I think certainly the seaweed and the shellfish end of things are very attractive to people who are either in the commercial fishery or come from a commercial fishing family, because the barrier to entry from a capital investment point of view is much lower than on the finfish. Although, in the cod farming world, we have fishermen who are looking very seriously at that right now. In fact, we've got a couple guys who are starting to go through the motions of getting licensed to do it. So
now it's called the Aquaculture Innovation Center. So what are some innovations that have come down the pike in the last few years?
Well, the Aquaculture Innovation Center is run by Chris Davis up at the universities, and I don't know how many years they've been around, but they've been around I think over 20 years, and they tend to fund very small kind of research projects that are applied. And if you look at those research projects that have been funded over the years and then look at the numbers of companies that have come out of them, they're actually one of the most successful business incubators in the state.
I was about to say, an aquaculture incubator then.
Absolutely. Yep.
Now, what about the legislative view, both federal and state? What's going on with aquaculture in that?
Well, there's a big policy debate at the federal level about what role aquaculture should play in federal waters, similar to the policy debate that's going on about renewable energy. It's a new activity. Where should we do it? How should we do it? What's right to do? What's wrong to do? At the state level, as you well know, we've been kind of through those debates for 30 years in this state, and we've got to a point now where we've got a system. It's not perfect. Takes a fair amount of time to get through, but it does fairly balance the interests of the applicant, the interests of the public trust. the citizens of the state of Maine, and the need to protect the environment. And those three things kind of come together. There are times when we as aquaculturalists feel that we're being discriminated against because we are the last people to be granted access to an area. In other words, if there's any activity going on at all, we don't get the lease. And that's not necessarily a way to foster change over time, but you know, it is the system we have, and we have to work with it.
Some of the salmon farms, you've had long-time citizens groups that may have started off opposing its existence at all, but then once it's in there, I'm thinking of, like, say, Friends of Blue Hill Bay. Are the fish farms still there?
In Blue Hill Bay, they're not. The Friends of Blue Hill Bay, I doubt very much that they will ever support a fish farm. In fact, they've actually been fairly active in opposing shellfish farms recently, which was a surprise to me. You know, we, in the communities where we have had fish farms, the experience has been there may be opposition at the beginning, and then once people see the farms up and running, get to know the farmers, it kind of becomes their neighborhood farm. And so in the renewal process, where our standard leases are renewed every 10 years, you would think that, you know, if people were really dramatically having a bad experience with those farms or whatever, they would oppose their renewal, and they're not. So I think they've become, again, part of the working waterfront local landscape. They're a relatively small area in the state. I mean, if you look at all of the farms we have in the state, both finfish and shellfish and seaweed, it's 1,300 acres. It's smaller than the Portland Airport. That's a pretty small area. And we generate a lot of money on it. So, you know,
all right. So where do you see things heading then for the next, for the next foreseeable future?
I think you're going to see kind of slow to moderate growth, and it'll be steady growth. The demand for aquaculture products is enormous. You know, we import over 85% of the seafood in this country from other countries. It contributes $10 billion to our national trade deficit. We live in Maine within a 24-hour truck ride of 150 million consumers. There's no better state in the East Coast position for, you know, aquaculture growth. But it has to be done in a responsible way, in a way that we can ensure that the environmental monitoring is good enough to make sure that we're not having unacceptable impacts.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Speaking with Sebastian Bell and...